Oh boy.
So good morning, everyone. It is 11:08 and Board of County Commissioners is meeting in the BCC conference room. Commissioner Fowler, Commissioner Bertrager, Commissioner DeYoung are all present. And what this is item number one is the introduction of Carlos Kennard, Southern Oregon Field Representative from Congressman Cliff Bent's office. So glad to meet you. What do you got for us?
Well, I should probably write it down before I forget, but I think there were three specific questions that I had in mind. And I guess we can get to that sure. As soon as I guess, verbalize those. The biggest question that I had was as far as the district, it seems to be outside of Jackson County into Josephine County a little bit, but not the entire county.
From what I understand. Mostly the city of Grants Pass.
Okay, so mostly just the city of Grants Pass. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that explains it.
It goes all the way out to Hunt Lane. So I live in Vince's district, and my cows live in DeFazio's district.
Seems like a natural break.
Oh,
well, Hunt Lane is a natural break, a road like 500 yards long.
Yeah, but it is.
That's inconceivable. It doesn't even go to the river or nothing.
No, that's how the line
well,
is.
I think probably... The biggest thing on my plate is the mineral extraction,
okay,
and the taking of entering everything into wild and scenic and into the overlay and whatnot. We will have absolutely no control over anything in our county ever again if this thing goes through. And it doesn't seem to be resonating strong enough from your office. I think your office needs to take a real stand on this, especially when, you know, I live on Gilbert Creek, and I don't know what it's going to say on what Gilbert Creek's going to be, if it's in this overlay or whatever. I live right on. And they're going to come around and tell me what color I need to paint my house now, and that I can't have a propane-powered fire pit in my backyard. On Tuesday, I can only light it on Sunday afternoons and Monday evenings. It's such huge overreach, and we're very goosey about overreach because we've lost everything, to be quite honest with you. There's only one explanation that makes any sense of this land grab by the federal government, is that they need to have the value of what they're grabbing for something. Mm-hmm. And just as they print money, mm-hmm, with Federal Reserve note on everything you carry in your wallet other than your credit card, but every piece of currency that they crank out has to be backed up by something. It's a note, just like your house. You buy your house, you have a note on your house that's backed up by that structure. You buy a car, and they put a note on that car, and the car becomes a collateral. Mm-hmm. We're printing money with no collateral, and the people that have our notes are getting nervous. So this land grab continued. First, timber was okay because timber grew. I'd say if you had our timber here, it was 500 million board feet a year, and it grew 700. We were allowed to cut 5, but the federal government says no. BLM also started cutting 220 million board feet a year, so they could put 5 into the principal, into their reserve, and only just trickle a little bit down to us. That's what cut all the funding out for Southern Oregon. Now they're doing it with mineral extraction, they're doing it with everything along those waterways. And there's only one logical answer for it, is they need the value of it. They always find out what the value is of something. When they did the ANWR up there, they asked, how many barrels of oil's down there, Shell or BP or whoever it was, said, oh, this makes OPEC look like a mud puddle. They go, wow, how many billions of more trillions of barrels down there? And the value of that would be times $42 a barrel. Ooh-wee. So guess what that amount is. Now we're just going to put the caribou migrating pattern right over ANWR, and you're not going to tap a damn bit of it. Put it under federal control. Same thing with Anaconda's mine out in eastern Utah, and same thing with our timber here. Same thing with now all of our minerals. What's the mineral value in Southern Oregon? Nickel, chrome, gold, I don't know if we have any silver here.
Oh, yeah.
We have silver here. And we have all these valuable minerals. Say, well, how much is down there? Oh, billions of dollars. Good. Thank you. and they attach a value on it, and all they want is the value. And in placing that value as collateral, you can't do anything with it. Because whoever's holding that note says, you ain't touching that. It's mine until you pay the note off. The only way you're going to satisfy the note is to collect all those $100 bills that they've been cranking out and burn them. Just like my dad burned the mortgage on his house. He burned the note on his house. It existed no more. His house was no longer collateral. It was his.
Yeah, have a mortgage burning party.
Exactly.
Well, until county taxes.
Well, I'm going to burn the mortgage. And we stood up. We went from an open fireplace. My dad opened the glass doors and a big ceremony. This house is ours. Yeah. And until you satisfy that note, it's collateral and you can't touch it. Hmm. You can only improve it. You cannot deface it.
So, Carlos, a little history of Josephine County. All the red there is federally owned. The feds are federally managed. I hate saying federally owned because we own it, but federally managed. And when we had timber production, Josephine County had no property tax.
None.
None. Zero.
We built the logs built the school. They built this building. They paid for sheriffs. They paid for everything.
We built three new high schools in one, 2 year period. Yeah,
they used to call the school district and say, hey, we're going to send you over $1 million. We don't know what to do with it.
You said what exactly? You said that there was no...
No property tax.
Really?
Zero.
From the county? So it was a county without county. Property tax?
Because all the money came out for the timber.
All the money came off timber sale.
Everything.
Yeah, and we had 17 mills that were cranking around this county.
That's right.
And now there's zero.
And now we have nothing. So that's a huge taking, and it's not. But that's just the logs. Now they're after everything else. Mm-hmm. Now they're after okay.
There's our sheriff badge. There's a reason. There's a log truck on it.
But the reason, but what now?
Cool.
Now they're
because they paid for the sheriff's, and we had a big sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm. And now they want. Now they want to come in and take the rest of anything that's valuable around here. Oh, but we're going to improve tourism. And I had Walden's, or no, Wyden's group in here, their staff, all four of them, I says, why? Why are you doing this? Oh, we're going to improve forest. We're going to improve the forest interest. I says, no, you're not. You're going to not touch it. And mismanagement is not touching it. Burn up.
They're just placating to their environmental.
That's
base.
All they're doing is doing the environmentalists and doing it. And we're going to increase tourism. We're going to increase tourism by better fisheries and more fish in the river. They're not doing anything. It doesn't have anything to do with it. And I says, and what does tourism do for this building right here? You know what tourism does for this building? It's a pain in my ass. Excuse me. Because you know why?
Well, because tourism is more of a city thing?
No, because tourism is expensive. Hmm. When somebody comes up here from California and they got their brand new Ford pickup down there and they park it at Hawk Creek to go float the river, and it comes back with a window busted out of it and all the stuff stolen out of it, who reports? The sheriff. We're going to send a deputy out there to fill out the whole report for that guy's insurance company. Did he pay anything into county government while he was here? Right. Nothing, because we don't have sales tax. Tourists come here, they use it, you drive up down these streets and see everywhere the license plates are New Jersey,
that's not tourism.
No, that's agritourism.
agritourism.
They're here learning how to snip
weed. That's a political phrase.
Okay.
But that's what's happening here. And when they say, oh, we're going to help with tourism, and those four people sat right there and says, none of the above helps me out. So how are you here to help me? We're with the government. We're here to help you. No, get the hell out of our way. And you can see right there how important that is to us.
And how long ago were they here? 6 weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
We asked them all separately, because we didn't do an open meeting like this, for maps. Can you show us a simple map?
What's it going to say?
Of what you're proposing. And I know it's not just the River Democracy Act. I want to see the other four or other three things that are coming right behind it that are doing the same kind of takings. Can you send us a map? Oh, no problem. They wrote it down. We'll make sure we get you a map. Have you seen a map?
Crickets.
Have you seen a map?
No.
I haven't seen a map. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. I'd like to see
a map
of all these possible. And if you don't have it, could you try and try and beat the 6-week record that they're failing at right now.
We want to know so that you and Cliff aren't set on the chopping block. Right. If you can't get something that we request, you call us back and say, this is where it stalled.
Okay.
Yep.
So specifically for that act,
the River Democracy Act is one. Mm-hmm. Jay could probably help me articulate the other three. House, that was 803, right? H bill.
May I answer?
Yeah.
So there's three. The River Democracy Act is Senate Bill 192. The Southwest Oregon Watershed and Salmon Protection Act is in built within Title 11 of H.R. 803. And then there's a third one that is coming right behind these two, which is called the Oregon Recreation Enhancement Act. It's abbreviated O-R-E, like our state used to be abbreviated, Oregon Recreation Enhancement Act. And so the commissioners, several months ago, asked for a map of these areas and clearly have yet to receive that.
Nope. We've seen a map on the proposed River Democracy Act, but that's the only thing that we've seen.
And it was proposed. It was just a draft.
It wasn't
finalized. They were going to make it, they were trying to look if they wanted to make it bigger and encroach more. And what else could we take?
Here's the thing. In a normal public process, you would include a meeting with the commissioners and say, hey, what do you guys think of our new River Democracy Act? Well, they never did that. They went around and went to environmentalists and said, hey, which stream do you want to protect? Whether it has water or not, just name it. And they went that way to get their formula to find this map. And so our property owners along the river, which is huge in our county, people love to live on the river. There's hardly any businesses on the river. We got a personal property taking going on because they're going to lock up some of their properties along here. And we don't even know which ones.
They're either going to lock it up, or on the converse, they will open it up and say, you no longer have control over the first 100 feet of the bank way up from the stream. And that's open to the public now. Now, I'm having a wedding in my backyard facing the river, and I've got bums. I've got homeless living on my property, and I can't do anything about it. So it gets pretty dicey around here.
Well, and Oregon, years ago, took all the water. So Oregon owns all the water. Now the federal government wants to take all the land along.
That was in 1907.
Yep. Many years ago.
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck here. And Wyden said on national television, the reason he's doing this is because the kayakers and rafters on Rough and Ready Creek encouraged him to do it. They set him up. I said, Rough and Ready. You heard up there when we were at ONC, and the guy says, "Yeah, Wyden said that he was he went Rough and Ready Creek. You know what Rough and Ready Creek is?
Rocks. There's no water in it.
There's never any water in it in the summertime. It's a seasonal creek in the wintertime. And they set him up. So he's up there blurting about, I'm doing this for the rafters and the kayakers on Rough and Ready Creek in Oregon. And all the rafters and kayakers are knowing just how disconnected the guy is. They really set him up, and he stepped in it. But to the rest of the world, it sounds like he's saving Rough and Ready Creek.
So I talked to Cliff about setting up a meeting with Barrasso, and I don't know. I don't know what ever happened to that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Which state is he from? That.
He's the ranking member on the Senate Natural Resources, and a senator from Wyoming.
Gotcha.
But what does the Natural Resources Committee do? Do they preserve, or do they just say, okay, we're going to catalog?
They do whatever they want to do.
I think they're the ones. You're going to go talk to Brasso, and he's going to go, what did you say we have out there? Oh, my God, we've got to preserve that. That's going into the old federal land bank.
No, that's not what he's going to do. But the problem is when you have these proposals that are so geographic specific, it's hard. It's because there's 100 senators and 435 representatives, and they're like, why do we give a shit? We're just a speck on the map in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So it's really hard, and that's why I want Cliff to try to get a meeting with Barrasso. Telling
the truth about what people think around. We had our letter to all senators, our letter stated three different advisory questions. We asked the people of Josephine County, do you want further taking by the federal government, further rules and regulations, and so on and so forth? All of them came back 70-30. Stay away. Leave us alone. And yet they march ahead. In dealing with BLM, and I've dealt with BLM I don't know how many times. I'm on the board of directors for ONC. They were having a road decommissioning over in Jackson County. You think they called ONC in? No, it was on BLM land. So in other words, on ONC land. BLM just taking care of it. So we go over, and Elizabeth sitting there, she was talking about, she was asking permission, and she was going, yeah, is that okay to do this and okay to do that? Where this is what we're here for, is to talk about it and everything. And I said, Elizabeth, how much is that going to take to decommission that road? And she blurted out a number, and I says, because you've already let the contract, haven't you? Huh? I said, you wouldn't have a number. If you didn't have a bid, you wouldn't have a number. And if you didn't have a bid and a number, you wouldn't have already had the contract let. You let the contract. You're just here to check the box. Did you check with ONC? Yes, I did. But that was after the contract was let. In dealing with that BLM again, when I was the president of the Active Club, I met with Walker, Mike Walker, and he was a BLM guy out of Jackson County. He says, I need you to come over and talk to us about this. Well, this is our wild and scenic. It was coming up to Great, it was going from Great Creek to the mouth of the Applegate. Mouth of the Applegate, and the Active Club uses that stretch of the river to Carpenter Island. We use that for our boat race once a year, so we're a place.
Twice a year.
Huh?
Twice a year.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we'll go down, yeah, for Labor Day.
Yeah.
But anyway, that, we use that stretch of the year, river. So they said, well, they're a player, find out what they want. So he gives it, buys me pizza and a beer over in Medford. I flip open the book. His book's this thick. I flipped the book. I said, take that, read it over a little bit. Tell me if there's anything we got to change.
Yeah, my next lifetime.
Yeah, and I flipped the lid open, and I looked at it, and I said, okay, let's lid it back over. I said, I've seen enough. He said, aren't you going to look at it? And I said, why should I? Read the flap, Mike. In the flap, I said, this is May 28th, and this thing goes into effect. It's already been passed. It goes into effect. It's adopted on June 7th. Next week, if I came back to you and told you I don't like page 48 through 197, you go, so what? You're checking a box, Mike. Get out of here. Thanks for the beer and the pizza. I'm out of here. And that's standard operating procedure for the federal government. And that's what was the result of it right there. We have nothing. We are at the mercy of the federal government. And the federal government is not listening to us, so we're getting really, really frustrating.
So on that map, 75%, give or take, is federally controlled. The green is our tax base. So all the people who live in the green got to flip the bill for operating the county.
The private?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the federal government's getting out. What do they contribute to our county? They used to contribute a lot.
No, they don't.
They went from a lot to nothing.
Yep.
And they kicked in PILT, payment in lieu of taxes.
Yeah, but that just keeps going.
Rather than us charging the federal government property tax, which we may elect to do one of these days, it's called PILT, payment in lieu of taxes. We'll just throw a bone so they don't eat the whole cow. So this year, the PILT went down 500 grand. Mm-hmm. You know what 500 grand does to our? We get 2 million, what, 22.3 million with 2.6 million last year.
Which started at 12 million 20 years ago.
And that's 12-year-old money. That's 30-year-old money, $12 million. And our timber receipts last year was 2.6, I think.
Yeah, below
2.6 million, yeah. And they chopped another 500,000 off of our PILT. Right. So we're going backwards, my friend. We're not going forward.
Well,
we're going to give you secure rural schools to make up the difference. It came in here, and the page of paper said, we're going to give you $4 million to secure rural schools 2 years, 3 years ago. We're going to give you $4 million. I said, above and beyond, and it said right in the paper, above and beyond the $2.1 million you got for timber receipts. You know what we got from the federal government? $1.9 million. I said, where's the other $2.1 million? Well, you got that. You got $2.1 on timber receipts. I says, Merkley and Wyden said, they got $4 million in SRS funds. That's not timber receipts. That's SRS funds.
Secure.
You didn't read the fine print.
And we didn't read the fine print. And so, but you know what it looked like? I said, then don't do that again. If you're going to take political credit for doing something. Because you know what it meant to us as a Board County Commissioner? Aha. You son of a guns are hiding $2.1 million somewhere in that building. I know there's a big can in the basement full of money. Because we didn't, we couldn't show $6.1 million coming into our general fund. We couldn't do that. We could only show $4 million coming in. 2.1 was timber receipts that should have been above and beyond.
Well, and that's all right. And that's a bit of the story, the backstory, man. I get when Bill Clinton and the environmentalist movement of the 90s closed our forests, there was a lot of unintended consequences. Not only was our economy taking a sucker punch, they said, oh no, we'll cut you a check for we'll pay the amount that you were making on that.
Yeah.
Which is a little more than $12 million, somewhere in there. And so we said, well, okay, you're gonna cut us a check. Well, they've, after paying for like 7 or 8 years, they started tapering it off, as normal happens with them. But could we get back in the forest? No. All of our mills were gone, the forests were still closed.
And so
now we had 20 years of growth in that forest that is now just burning every year. Instead of logging
more than 20.
More than 20. Instead of logging and making productive taxpayers out of our citizens, we now have them breathing smoke all day because we saved the trees to be burned later.
Yeah.
And it really is a backwards thinking, and nobody in the Clinton administration will admit we did something wrong by locking up the forest and mismanaging them. They say, oh no, no, we're going to save that for your grandkids, grandkids. And we're like, well, but it's all burning up now. And we're on all the maps of fire propensity. Now we're on a drought this year. And all these unintended consequences, they're not owning up to the facts that come alongside those. So we see this mineral moment as being that same kind of
moment.
It's
just a repeat of the
time. It is a repeat. In 20 years, our commissioner is going to sit in this room, and you may still be in the game, but we'll be out.
But you'll be paying for all this money they're printing.
Right? You'll be the one going, oh yeah, I remember this, that this was like logging, and we took a whole other industry away. And we're talking critical minerals they use on solar panels, battery-type components. The critical minerals they're saying is our future are the ones they're going to lock up. And so it really is a moment in time like that one in the 90s. And so I hope that lands with you, because that is the main thing we're concerned about. Not the individual counts and facts back it up, but the main theme is we don't want to lock up more of our forest, more of our resources.
The environmentalists will tell you.
It's about the spotted owl?
Well, it started out as a spotted owl. Yeah. Now they're blaming everything on the timber industry of years gone by. You planted the trees too close together. And that's why they have a catastrophic forest fire. And I have looked environmentalists right in the face. I'm not going there. Don't you even try that. Because we've been doing it your way for 50 years, and it's a failure.
Yeah.
We've been doing it their way for 50 years.
So let me explain to you what happened to Josephine County, why we're always struggling for so much funds. So you already know that we didn't pay any taxes. We had no property tax, okay? And then in the late 70s and early 80s, we had to reinstitute property taxes because we started losing timber receipts, not so much from the federal withdrawal because of the market. There wasn't the market for logs.
Keep it in mind, you're talking to a timber faller here.
I'm a timber industry guy.
He's a timber industry guy.
Okay. Yeah. What was the first thing you said?
Timber faller.
He's a guy cuts down trees.
He knows how to start a chainsaw.
When I was your age, that's what I used to do.
He runs a chainsaw.
He knows how to start a chainsaw, yeah.
So then the county had to institute a very modest property tax, very modest. And then the legislature, actually not the legislature, the people of Oregon through the initiative process, passed Measure 5. And Measure 5 capped your property taxes and only allowed them to go up 3% a year. So in most counties, they had a pretty good a property tax up here. Tax base up here. And then it got capped at 3%. We had this tax base way down here, and it capped it at only 3%. And then all the timber money went away. And that's what happened to Joseph
County.
Double trouble.
You got one of the poorest counties in Oregon. And we fought through. We're not destitute, but we sure as heck are.
Oh, we aren't fully
funded. There is absolutely nothing. When Josephine County tax collector collects all the taxes, property taxes, we get 7.8% of the tape. Mm-hmm. The rest of it all goes out to the
schools. What's that dollar amount? Does anybody know off the top of their head? What's our general fund?
I thought it was $18 million. Out of the 180, that'd be 10%, so it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all we got. And we can't increase the 3% because that's measure 5.
Well, and now our houses, especially ones along the river and the beautiful ones in our county, have gone up in value to 750,000, but their taxes are still hanging down.
Oh, they're way down.
They pay property tax of assessed value. Your statement will say assessed value and real market value. And we charge to the loan. So when people say, my God, during the recession, my house lost all its value and you still tax me. You're still taxing me on what it was worth and it's lost 40%. But you look at your tax statement, whichever number is the lowest is what we will assess the tax on.
Okay.
And we can't raise that because of Measure 5.
Right, and we don't have a sales tax.
And all of our timber, like Commissioner DeYoung said, we used to have all kinds of sawmills. Mm-hmm. And now we have none. Zero. And nobody's going to build a mill
with the new environmental standards.
Even if the federal government says, hey, we're going to start putting logs on the market, there is no trust in the federal government. Nobody's going to put out
a shovel every 4 years.
When you talk about the timber, we're bombarding a lot of stuff here, so I'm hoping you're ignoring it. But you talk about now the timber that's in Josephine County, the value of it is highly predicated on transportation costs of the mill for processing. It's got to go to Medford or Roseburg or over onto the coast, where we used to just come from Page Mountain out in Cave Junction to Rough and Ready, down the road, 15 miles. Now it's 75 miles one way. So you take all that diesel and wear and tear on the truck and you've got to add that in, and now our timber really isn't worth what it's supposed to be.
And the other person that we're fighting are the large landowners. The warehousers, the Plum Creeks, the Forest Capital, the Hamptons, all of those that owns hundreds and hundreds of thousands of timberlands, they don't want no federal timber on the market because that makes their stumpage value go down. So they're in Washington, D.C. lobbying people like Cliff Bentz and others not to log any federal timber because that lowers their stumpage rates. So we actually got more problems than just environmentalists.
Yeah. We're fighting back on more than one front.
Right.
And if we would get, and now, after the game from the old gold rush days, and before the game of critical minerals today, we're going to get stepped on before we even got out on the track.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this River Democracy Act is going to do, the taking of precious metals, all of that mining, you stop it all, and guess what? Now what do we have? Dope. And we don't want dope to be
that shouldn't be our main industry.
Yeah. Illegal dope.
Now, another thing.
You got the climate for it.
Another thing.
That's the problem.
We got a sign that tells you that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we really have an issue with, you should have probably come to our weekly business session because we had a long session on it. But we're having a hell of a problem with COVID-19 outbreak in Jackson and Josephine County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And everybody goes, well, why now? You know what? Was 4th of July a super spreader? And our public health director said, well, we lifted restrictions and that's why this thing's gone crazy. Why Jackson and Josephine? Because Jackson and Josephine, 10% of our population right now, 10% is illegal growers.
So it's because of porous border and
10%.
Porous border.
These are the living conditions of these.
One thing Mr. Bentz could really harp on is that porous southern border. Because right now they're coming across, they've got COVID, they know damn well they got COVID. They're not stopping them, they're not sending them back because they can't. And what are they doing? They go, people with COVID, they get on the bus, and that's where they live here, and they go shop at Winco. Mm-hmm. I was in Winco the other day. Herman was in Walmart the other day, and it looked like Walmart in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Kmart.
Kmart's Walmart. An old school term, isn't it?
Walmart, no. Puerto Vallarta. Well, and there is one in Puerto Vallarta.
And they're sending illegal border crossers to sanctuary states, which is Oregon, mm-hmm. which is Washington, and they find out, and maybe California. They can't find the jobs, but they heard in Southern Oregon, there's cash jobs available in cash cannabis job. Industry.
And so they end up checking ID because we're not allowed to.
Nope, not allowed. Not allowed,
allowed to
talk
to you on the street. Well, and say, hey, brother, what are you?
The sheriff says 90% of the people do not have do not produce identification of any type.
Yeah.
And almost 100% of them are non-speaking,
not
English speaking.
And you know what? If you want, I wanted to check. I wanted to check IDs on
what
the
part
Greyhound
of Texas
bus.
Are you from?
I'm originally from Springfield, Eugene
area. Oh,
yeah. My dad went to the University of Oregon.
That's not a good thing.
That's a bad start.
Well, you could be a Ducks fan.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah. Well, I grew up watching Joey Harrington.
Oh, yeah?
And then I moved to Texas when I was in high school. And
wow.
I graduated.
What part of Texas?
No wonder you're working
Central
for a Republic.
Texas.
Central Texas. Well, you see, the living conditions are just atrocious. This is actually modern slavery. Because what we're finding out is these people aren't paid on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. He's referring to it as narco-slavery.
Yeah. They're not being paid. They're promised at the end of the season that they'll be paid.
Get a windfall.
Yeah, nobody's getting a payroll check.
The guy driving the truck, the U-Haul truck full of illegal immigrants coming up here to put them to work is no different than the guy that went to the Gold Coast in Africa and piled a bunch of slaves on his ship and took off to the United States of America. No difference whatsoever.
And our federal government is not realizing it.
They're not realizing
the impact on our area. That's the one of our main federal issues. We got the mineral taking. We got this cannabis problem, which is huge. And there was a third one.
No federal health.
I know the airport extension is one, but it doesn't sound as big when I put those other two on the table.
No, it's not. But that's, you know, the airport, I get so mad at DeFazio because literally being the chair, all he has to do is take this and say, here, put that in that bill.
Yeah.
And nobody would ever.
Nobody would even think.
Think of it. It's like, oh, that's a Scribner error.
Right? Yep. No.
He won't even do that.
He does show up and talk to us, but then he
his own district.
What he says.
He doesn't
well, he
even
out,
do
he
that.
Came out here. We walked the airport. We went out to the airport. You know, showed him everything and what the whole situation looked like. Oh, this looks really good. Yeah, I think this can happen. So on, so on, so on. Walked away. Never heard from
never
him again.
From
went
him
right to Seattle FAA and said, right. Nah, they don't deserve it.
Well, he went by his locker and put the flannel shirt back and grabbed his business suit
yeah.
before he got
yeah,
on the plane.
Exactly.
It's very fun to watch their clothing change when they come to Oregon. anywho, they don't even live here. DeFazio doesn't even live here.
But not, that's talking about the airport, though.
Yeah, that was the one specific thing. We have an airport that we
needs
you know,
a
Dutch
runway
Bros
extension.
Coffee.
Okay.
A mm-hmm. huge up and coming, about ready to go public company.
Mm-hmm.
And they got CEOs now, and it's moved into that phase.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to leave the airport with their fuel tank at an eighth to get over to Medford to fuel up because they're too heavy for our short runway. So we're going to end up losing them
we'll
as our big
them.
Anchor. If
that
we don't
will
get
be
this extension.
That will be a taking.
Yep.
If we lose Dutch Brother, we will at their headquarters. He wants to be here. The kid went to high school here.
Yep. And we're already approved for half of the extension. We only need the other half. It's
yeah.
it's so close.
Probably the biggest reason for Dutch Brothers going to move is the taxation in Oregon.
Yeah, that'll be the CEO is going to bring that up every time.
Yeah. It's
yep. And trying to find good workers here.
Yeah, 10% income tax.
Yeah, the Dutch Bros was founded the same year I was born in Eugene.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I
so
used to
I probably
drank cart.
Their first cup of coffee in a hay barn out on Upper River Road before
mm-hmm.
they ever...
Before they ever got the downtown cart and the
they're
RCC
good friends
cart.
Of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Wardens are good friends of mine.
And they're still a very big local company. They're in the midst of... They just improved the infield of our fairgrounds with
mm-hmm.
a big sports complex.
They're
doing
roughly, I think when they get done horse running, close to $60 million. In our fairgrounds, they can't own a bit of it. They have to write it all over us.
Yep.
That kind of improvement.
Saving horse
kind of,
racing in
Oregon.
That's
why a company
a big
there.
Deal.
Horse? You said horse racing?
Yeah, he saved horse racing. Portland was going to drop it, and the state was going to lose it. And Dutch Bros, he was into it. He's like, no, let's move it, the hub down to Grants Pass.
We had
so
a certified track.
Yep.
You know, with the improvements, he had to improve the track, and we had a certified track. One of the only ones in Oregon, and he just says, I'll move it down here. That's in my backyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's shaking and moving, and every time he turns,
his
CEO's going, let's move. You guys don't want to be here. You don't want to be in Oregon.
That airport is a linchpin.
Well, yeah, if they're public, I mean, they would just have to have a place to put the corporate entity, and that's probably not
what comes up when we say we want to do that, when we say we want to extend the runway, here's the answer back to politicians.
Too purple now.
The answer for politicians is, you're just doing this for dust brothers, and we're not going to do, we don't do improvements for a private entity.
We do improvements for the greater good.
How can you get beyond the private entity part of it if you aren't going to make that bigger? If you make that runway longer, we will attract other business here. Mm-hmm. And now instead of a pile, this is a no-brainer to me. That airport over here is going to be overwhelmed in the next 5 years, if it isn't already. And why not divert some of that traffic, like maybe the smaller UPS planes or something, over to here? Hmm. Nope, not interested.
And we got a nice 5,500-foot runway out in Cape Junction.
Yeah, with a new surface.
But they wouldn't let us do, the locals wouldn't let us do training for fire readiness. And so there isn't a bunch of helicopters out there training.
They might see too much.
Right. See the cannabis problem.
Have you driven around Josephine County and seen the cannabis problem we have in this?
Well, part of the reason why I was delayed today is I was out. I came in on 283, and there were some road delays. And I was driving through there, and I saw the sign when it said, you know, now you're in Josephine County. But I don't think I've.
You were on 238.
Or 238, yeah.
Yeah, coming to Williams Highway.
Gotcha. Well, I'll send you the flyover video.
Okay.
We did a one-hour video of all the cannabis grows, and that was back in May. It's
everything,
way worse now.
Everything we call poop houses, they're around, what was that bust out in Cape Junction?
210,000 plants.
How much?
210,000
marijuana plants.
Yep.
One grow.
And how do you even get rid of that?
You know what that is? We tore that down, and you think, oh, well, we put a dent in their operation. Oh, crap.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay.
That's just cops doing business.
It's really organized crime. They're pulling up with big semi-trucks full of materials, bulldozers. They're bulldozing the creeks and the trees off the land and then putting organized hoop houses in and been bringing in the workers.
Mm-hmm. And they did a big bust really out here, 140,000 or 100 and, well, I thought it was a big bust then. It was 14,000 plants out here on Boundary. I said, when did that pop up? This is in less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
It went from a bare field.
What's happening?
Agricultural bare field farmland.
Yep.
To the whole thing was nothing but plastic and hoop houses, PVC, and every one of them was full of plants.
Yeah, and piping systems, water storage.
That's
motors.
Not keep Oregon green.
And we're starting to hear of atrocities that I can't go into detail over that are consistent with the cartel.
We had eight murders last year, and then this year we're already.
Yeah.
On a track to be worse, earlier, and that's not us.
Earlier you mentioned, you said 10% were illegal, or what was the...
The estimate between 7 and 10,000, and we got a population of
87,000 people. So about 10% of our, and
10% of the population is here.
Of the people that's here.
I call them guests.
Okay.
Working guests. Non-English-speaking working guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hopefully I won't politically get in trouble.
In the old days when I knew some people that lived up in the Columbia Valley, up in the Dalles, and they picked dead cherries and things that they have up there, farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see them around here, probably some out there still.
We used to have them in hops.
They had little houses for the farm workers when the hops were here.
Mm-hmm.
And they had rows of little houses, just little one room deals, and that's where the farm workers, the migrant farm workers, brought their whole family with them, and they lived in that little house. They had conditions, sanitary conditions, and a little cook stove in there, and whatever.
Okay.
And this is what you're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We have some pretty high. So a friend of mine owns an orchard in Hood River. He's actually an Oregon senator, and the things he has to do to provide for his workers are unbelievable.
Right.
And they're not providing for anything. They're lucky if they have food.
Yep. And I was in Winco the other day, and I was had two ladies that weren't from me. They had four or five baskets. They were full, big boxes of green peppers, not bell peppers, but green peppers. Boxes of eggs, flats and flats and flats of eggs. Boxes of potatoes. They were buying for their workers on a grow.
Trying to find tortillas.
They get up there. They get up to the deal.
Wait, are you telling me there's a tortilla shortage?
Yes.
Wow.
Say it ain't so.
It is.
But anyway, so they had these baskets full of stuff, and they get all the tats all over. Mm-hmm. And they get all up there, and sure enough, they pull out one Oregon Trail card and swipe it.
Yep. Another Oregon Trail card and swipe it.
Yeah. Another Oregon Trail, and they're $500 a whack or whatever they are. Use them all up. Send them on their way, and I'm sitting there with my meager stuff that I'm going to pay cash for that I earned while I'm working here. And I told the lady, the cashier, I says, well, at least the lady could, I cleaned that up, Mr. Recorder, at least the lady could have turned around and thanked me for all those Oregon Trail cards. She says, you wouldn't believe what comes through here in a day's time. Hmm. You would not believe it. We're all paying for that. Hmm.
Yeah,
and everybody got a blind eye to it.
And the reason they qualify for the Oregon Trail card is all the work that they do is cash.
It's cash on the side.
It's
everything cash.
I even had one of those guys. He happened to be
Caucasian. So they have no income, they can apply for the Oregon Trail card.
He happened to be a Caucasian who smelled of, I haven't had a shower in a week. And when he brought his card out ahead of me with the cart full of stuff, he held it up and said, hey, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, at least he's ready. Wait,
let me get you around the corner, buddy.
Pizza's honest, you know. Let me help you out with those groceries.
I should have said that.
But anyway, when you get into a situation like that, mm-hmm. and I had a lady, she was very well-to-do. She looked like very well-to-do. She paid with an Oregon Trail card. The lady said, well, there's some stuff here that doesn't qualify on Oregon Trail. You're going to pay cash for that. She goes, yeah. And she opened it up and just had $100 bills stacked in her thing. She pulled out two 100s in hand and said, take it out of that.
God.
And absolutely... And it used to be, I was growing up, if your family was on welfare cheese, you were a little bit embarrassed. Not anymore. Now it's a badge of honor that you're cheating the system. And everybody, yeah. And they applaud you for cheating the system. It makes it pretty frustrating to us because we don't have anything to do. We're getting off subject, but I think our main thing is this mineral withdrawal because that's probably
the first
thing that's coming up. And I don't know if we can stop it. But I want a real exerted effort from our representatives and senators. I want a real exerted effort.
Carlos, I got to run. I got another meeting. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Take care.
See you, Commissioner.
See you, Jay.
Well, anything you want to bring up, Carlos? You've listened to us, and we appreciate that. And we know we got a little friendly fire because you do represent a Republican, which is rare in Oregon. So thanks for that. Anything you want to bring up or any questions you have, anything we could do to help you out?
Okay, well, there's just a question that I had for y'all individually. I was wondering if there were specific portions of the county that y'all work in or that you have, like, responsibilities for.
We don't really do that. We kind of represent the whole county. I spend a little extra time out in Illinois Valley. I go to their city council meetings and stuff to make sure they know where they're being heard. But that doesn't make me the rep. I just happen to go
King
out.
King Junction's our only other incorporated city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All of us are involved with the people across the parking lot.
Okay.
This city is 35,000 in our 85,000. That out there is 2,000 in our 85,000. But right around them, they got a lot of folks. That valley holds
17,000 is in the valley.
In the valley, yeah. In the Illinois valley. So there's quite a lot of folks, and that's their place to talk.
In Cape Junction?
Yeah.
Cape Junction's 2.3% of the population of Grove Street. And then Grants Pass is 43% of the population of Josephine County.
Well, and there's a couple huge businesses you wouldn't expect out there. There's Taylor Sausage, which supplies almost the entire nation with gourmet sausage and processed foods. They have a great restaurant out there and wholesale place. If you're out there, check it out. And the other one, there's one called Rogue Truck Body that they build dump truck bodies for. They send them to Hawaii.
They
to
set up an old mill site.
Yep, they've got like 60 employees and repurpose that old mill site.
Yeah.
Just some great bright spots out there. Mm-hmm. So people want to live here and they want to work. But when the government tells you, no, stay home, we'll send you a check, we'll send you $250 for your kids, we'll send you. We're getting sick of hearing that here. Because most people in Josephine County are self-starters, self-responsibility.
We want to earn our own way. And when you keep taking away the tools that we can use to earn our own way, and then say, we're going to throw you a bone so we don't eat the whole cow, that doesn't set well with us.
It's very frustrating.
And this one here, you see what happened. And you guys are in control of all that. Now I'm saying, okay, now, not only, the only thing you can do is maybe drive up in, and then they're closing all the roads. because of the vandalism and the garbage problem, which is huge around here, and BLM's not doing anything about it, U.S. Forest Service not doing anything about it, it's huge, and we're not fixing that either. But so then the only alternative is to lock the road, and we were at AOC 4 years ago, 5 years ago, there's a guy from the federal government, and he says, yeah, I'm here with plenty of money to increase access to public land. To enhance access to public land. I said, no kidding. I raised my hand. He goes, yeah, what can I do to help you? I said, I'm Josephine County. You're going to give me a pair of bolt cutters? Because you've locked up every access to public land that I can think of in Josephine County. You used to be able to go, I've born here 72 years ago.
Can't even access it?
No.
Not unless you want to walk around the gate. And let me give you a little context with this. When Herman shows you this, it's very dramatic how much property is owned by the federal government. Go to any state east of the Mississippi and look for this map. They have maybe a little state park.
East.
That's federal owned. No, that's state owned. They have a federal park.
There isn't anything east of the Rockies, really.
Really, yeah. They don't understand the concept of being outnumbered like this. Because in Connecticut and New York and all those, they own all the land.
No federal land.
They have no idea that this is what happened west of the Rockies, that California, Oregon, Washington, Wyoming,
they're
always have
control,
big walkouts like
they're
this.
They're in control of their destiny, and we're not.
And we're not.
They're in control of our destiny.
Okay.
Through the Congress.
Through the Congress. And so it's a dramatic difference.
It's not, and we're not getting our message across.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well, so then I had probably two more things.
Sure.
So the first thing is, I'm kind of asking you to help me with my homework here a little bit. The bottom line is that at the end of this, I'll have to type something up, and the congressman will, it'll get across. In
his desk.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to ask if there was anything that you would have me write specifically. I mean, it's probably just going to be a paragraph or so.
Right.
You know, in an email. But if there's anything that
we're here to support him. But we need reciprocal. We can support him if we want letters or something that he can take around to his people.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Whatever he gets in a bind, send it our way. And if it does incorporate us as Josephine County. But it's the other way around. We're not his representative. He's our representative. So we can help him from this side get reelected to keep in here. But at the same time, he's got to show that he is representing us, and these are, you asked for our concerns, those are our concerns. Yep. Those are
You've
our
got
concerns.
Our top three. And I will have the office staff send you the recording of this, so you, if you're driving around, you could pop it in, and I guess you'd scroll it up, or whatever you call it now. You used to pop in a tape. But
a disc? You don't even get a disc anymore.
Nope. My car, my new 2020 Charger, didn't even have a CD player, and I'm like, everything keeps moving on. But I'll have them send that to you, and I'll have them send that flyover video.
Okay.
And I think we want to take another, we should orchestrate another flyover now that we're getting into the heat of the growing season.
Oh, yeah.
We could
because these things are popping up.
Yeah.
We've torn down some. A while back, we used to send solid waste out there to dismantle grows. And we had a big one popped up. Well, it was a big one out here on Monument. Sheriff said, I can't get anybody to dismantle this. And I said, well, I watch on the news, Northern California, when the growth gets so big, they just say, blade it with a cap.
Boulders.
So they borrowed a cap. We hired a cap from, they're even talking irrigation district and subletting to the, contracting with the irrigation. Just take a cat out there and just blade it under. And they just push it in a pile. That's the end of it.
Well, because these hoop houses, you can turn over a plant in like 3 or 4 months. You don't have to wait for the growing season.
They do three.
Do it once
they get three crops a year. Here's how this is working out. Yeah. When it was hemp was, we think, oh yeah, it's for textiles and for CBD oil. What they're doing now is they're using hemp because it's legal, and it's called smokable flower. Okay, they grow these hoop houses, and then they put black plastic over the top, and we trick the plant into thinking it's fall, so it goes to flower. They clip the flower, the bud, or whatever they call it. They take CBD oil. They're all legit. And they take CBD oil, and they take the flower and the CBD oil, smokable flower, and they send it all over America.
There's no regulations on it.
But then where it gets to its destination, They take THC, the concentrated THC out of the illegal marijuana that's grown here, and they ship that in a gallon jug. And they go back there and they take what we sent away from here.
Legally, as
smokable flower. I said, why would you smoke
and not get high?
It's like drinking non-alcohol beer. What's the point?
Do a whole case.
Yeah, and walk around. So therein lies the problem, and that's what we're faced with right now. So what they do is they trick that thing into going into flower three times a year. So a hoop house will give you three times the crop that you would get in open air farming.
Well, and you had one more, Carlos. I think you had two left.
Yes. So, well, just to clarify, because you said earlier that I have your main three issues, I think is what you said. So I wanted to clarify, because it sounds like marijuana is one of them. And
The mineral withdrawal.
Mineral withdrawal.
Is the main one. And then
all the land taking and the Rivers Democracy Act. That's number one.
The critical
one.
Minerals, yep.
We'll handle the marijuana on this end, because when we go to war, it's not going to be really nice. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to get
But the
involved.
Illegal part of cannabis, the eco-slavery, the DEA, we seize guns all the time.
Those are all state, state
issues. That's all federal issues that you guys could have an effect on.
So the first was the mineral world, and then the other two were?
Then the cannabis was second, and then that airport extension.
Okay, that's why. And then, so as far as the airport goes, then I had a question about that, because I was wondering the address of the location. Just out of curiosity, because you mentioned DeFazio, and then you also mentioned Congressman Benz, but I know that Grants Pass is in the district, but the address for the airport is what I was curious.
Airport's DeFazio, I think.
Yeah, I think the airport is DeFazio.
Okay. Wendy?
Young Wendy?
Wendy, what went wrong?
So we can find out if it's in their district or not.
Are you going to stand out there? Can you give me that letter I wrote to Billy Williams? U.S. Attorney Billy Williams a couple years ago about what the federal government should and shouldn't do for the dope industry, the marijuana industry. If you could get me that letter, I need a copy of it.
Okay, 1441 Brookside.
1441 Brookside.
Cool,
Drive.
Thank you.
In GP.
Brookside, okay. And then, the last thing that I had then was a term that I've been learning in the past month and a half. And my boss uses it. She says federal nexus.
What?
A federal nexus, right. Since you are a federal rep, or he is. So where's the federal nexus in our in our discussion? Is that what you mean? Yeah. A lot of it is timber management.
Okay.
Then it's the DEQ with cannabis management. It's the land taking, of course, number one. The mineral taking. All those are federal crossover, because they're the ones proposing the lockup. Mm-hmm. So there's that federal nexus.
Those are things that are coming down from the federal side. And the rest of it, we have issues, state issues we have to issue with all, we deal with all. State and the dope thing, the state controls all water. We got a hell of a water shortage here.
Yeah,
and now that the governor has declared a drought.
Mm-hmm. Check them out.
Now the governor's declared a drought. Now agriculture can pull out of groundwater. Are they drying up wells? Yeah, they're gonna deplete the aquifer here. We're going to have people, and the answer from the state water master, I said, are you letting anybody know that you're doing that? He goes, nope. I said, what are you going to do when their well goes dry? He goes, most of those wells in Southern Oregon are hand dug. They need to be dug deeper anyway. That's his answer.
To a little old lady
little
in the house, yeah.
Little disconnect, because there, I don't know how many hand dug wells there are, but there ain't a handful of them.
No.
These are all tube and pump.
Okay.
Now, nice I sent
you. Best of luck.
U.S. Attorney Billy Williams, and of course, during the
this one?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, this is a letter I gave to U.S. Attorney Billy Williams when he was down here, and this was in 2019. And I went to two summits that he had in Portland at the federal building that they burned down, that they tried to burn down. And it was having to do with dope. And it said, I went through the whole thing. I intend to come back to the legislature, 2020 and following changes. I would open this bill up to the entire state, so on and so forth. Then in closing, I urge you to postpone efforts to legalize the interstate commerce of marijuana and access to banking of the monies from the marijuana industries until the state of Oregon demonstrates a serious commitment to reducing the surplus and abating the black market activities. So on the federal side, when the dope industry decides, oh, we've got to have We have to be able to bank that money. It's a great idea, but make them give you something in return. Because right now they give us nothing. They get a little bit every day. Okay, we'll legalize hemp. Okay, we'll legalize dope. Okay, we'll legalize medical. Then we'll legalize rec. And now we have legalized, decriminalized cocaine, methamphetamine, then heroin in Oregon. Yep. So, take that.
Okay. So, talking about banking, huh?
Yeah, banking's still a big deal. Mm-hmm. People are still bringing to pay their, if you're a legitimate cannabis grower in Southern Oregon, you got to put your taxes in an armored truck or in the back of your pickup and drive them up to Salem. Because there's no bank to put it in.
They're federal credit union sure. in Salem that will take your deposits, your cash deposits. Do you know what they charge?
An arm and a leg?
20%.
Golly.
If I take $1 million up there, they take $200,000 for processing my $1 million.
Right.
No, that's nice of them.
It's bad. And Oregon still won't fix it for whatever reason.
That's criminal. I don't care what anybody
says. I don't know what their interest is.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? You sit at home with a shotgun in your lap and your easy boy leg and yep. wait for somebody to kick
in front
the
of your
out
safe.
And blow your brains out? Because there's tons of money in it.
Or not pay your taxes.
Well, they don't
right, then there's an incentive. But if you're a legal grow, they're going to come talk to you.
Well, okay. Glad you came by. We just got to visit a little bit up there at the O&C thing.
Yeah.
And as you saw, mm-hmm. with that whole tour, mm-hmm. I don't know how much green timber is going to market.
I haven't had...
Just email them over then.
Yeah, I'll be sure
to get that
email
video.
All y'all.
I don't know how much green timber is going to market in Oregon. I think it's probably 70-80% black.
Okay.
And we've only got 2 years to cut that, and then it's done. Then it is rotten.
Yeah,
then it's rotten on the stump.
Well, it's really hard to have a great tourist season when this is what you look at.
Yep.
The beautiful mountains are gone.
Yeah, we missed that last year, but this year, I gotta think this is coming from the fire over Rouge.
No, they said California still.
Oh, California. So they cut that one out.
The Klamath, the bootleg.
Yeah, bootleg.
And something in Northern California. Well, thank God ours is.
Boy, the pressures over there were just sick.
All right, well, Carlos, take care.
Oh, yeah, thank
Best
you.
Best of luck to you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Right. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
And watch out for rural Oregon. We're a feisty bunch.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it's good to be in Southern Oregon. I'm glad I'm getting to know the area.
That's cool. Come by anytime.
Cool.
Okay, Carlos, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you
very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Say hi to Cliff.
Appreciate it.
I'm headed over to Eastern Oregon to work on some friends of his ranch here.
Oh, really?
Quick, hopefully.
Head out to Mollier?
Leg, huh?
Head out to Mollier County?
Well, yeah, I was going out to the Outward Ranch and the Cooney Ranch out there.
Mm. Okay.
And Cooney's putting in a new refrigeration plant, and I'm going out there to... I may send one of my workers out there, because my wife broke her leg, and she can't get around. I mean, it's her right-hand foot, so she can't drive. The doc didn't even let her walk around on it for another month and a half, so... Yep, we have to go do this one by himself.
You're going to go out there to see them out there? Is what you're out there for?
I'm going to try.
Mm. Okay.
But if I can't leave my wife at home, she took care of me and all the miserable stuff that I had. So, by the way, we are adjourned at 12:06.